You're listening to episode 245 of the FitsPro podcast, and today we are going over five common mistakes in program design for strength and hypertrophy general programming. This is basically how to avoid some of the common pitfalls and deliver better results to your clients through your program design. So if that is an interesting topic for you, without further ado, let's dive in. The FitsPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitsPo. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitsPro. So if you want to get clients' results, which is, I assume, what you are attempting to do through your program design, I want you to consider doing less but better. Before we get into what I mean by that, I do want to give a shout out to Legion Athletics. They are the number one brand of all natural sport supplements in the world. They are the sponsor of this podcast. You can use code Annie at checkout if you go to buylegion.com to get 20% off your first order or double Legion reward points. My favorite products are any of their vitamins, as well as their whey protein, their creatine, and their non-stim pre-workout. I will say with the vitamins, you have to take a lot of pills. So if you're not into that and you want to consolidate that, these are probably not the best ones for you. But as far as quality goes, it is hard to beat. So just a little tidbit there, check out Legion if you never have before. So today I'm sharing five program design mistakes. I see these as common mistakes, why they are mistakes, and what you can do differently to fix them and make sure you're mitigating these within your own program design. At the point of this episode, I have approved and reviewed almost 100 Pure Programming final program submissions. And that is a 12-phase macro cycle and at least one mesocycle consisting of 3 months of full programming of microcycles. So I've seen my fair share of common mistakes, and maybe even I would consider them insecurities that coaches have around their approach to program design. Again, pure programming is specific to strength and hypertrophy training, but a lot of the mistakes that we're going to go over today could be carried over into many different types of program design. By addressing these potential mistakes in your programming practices, you avoid pitfalls with clients, yes, but also you increase your confidence, or you have the potential to increase your confidence in the choices that you make around program design and selling your own methods. So often, I think coaches make decisions to appease clients instead of whatever might actually be the best from a programming standpoint. But I understand that you need to be able to communicate your decisions and justifications for your decisions to your clients. And if you lack the backing or the confidence in that decision making, it makes sense that you would default, I guess, to appeasing the client and what they want. So hopefully, if that's something that you have found yourself struggling with, this podcast will be helpful for you. Now, most of these can apply to individualized programming as well as templated programming. So take what fits, leave the rest. The first one is not having an assessment or a clear goal. Now, I just dropped another podcast on goal-oriented program design, so be sure to go check that out if you have not yet done so. I give you 5 or 6, I think, types of goals that you could kind of form your program design around. So again, go check that out if you have not. Even with templated programs, there should still be a common issue or a common desire that we are working towards with the programming. So if you are going to write a program for any amount of time for a group of people, we need to have a clear why. Why are you writing the program? What is the end goal of the program? Or what are the process goals of the program? If you're unclear on that, it makes sense that program design would be a very overwhelming process because you're literally looking at an endless toolbox with no direction, no blueprint, If you don't have an assessment and you do one-on-one, I highly suggest making your own assessment or pulling from well-known and accredited assessments. I use the Active Life assessments for mobility and flexibility, as well as strength balance with my one-on-one clients when I had them. Those are my favorite assessments. I think they're the most applicable for the type of training that I do with my clients or that I did with my clients. So be sure that whatever assessment you're choosing makes sense for the kind of style and modality of training that you do. And then if you are, well, really, whether you're doing an assessment or not, there needs to be a clear goal of the program that you are creating, of the phases that you're creating, even if it is for an ongoing one-on-one client. That brings us to number two. The other mistake here is week-to-week programming. This is just incredibly inefficient, and it's not necessary. It is not essential to program week by week for most clientele. I'm not saying for all clientele, week to week might make sense, especially in maybe a rehab sense. But even then, you could likely have kind of a block planned out and adjust things week to week, but not be programming from scratch week to week. So I encourage you to define your mesocycles. If you don't know what a mesocycle is, that is 3 to 4 months, a 3 to 4 month block of training made up of microcycles. That's going to be your mesocycle, and there should be a goal for your overall mesocycle. If you've never looked at this before, again, this is something we do inside Pure Programming. I've mentioned it in a few YouTube videos, so go check those out as well. Monthly program design, or 4 to 6 weeks, really, is what I consider a phase of training when we look at programming microcycles. Monthly program design gives you two things, and those are predictability and measurability for the client. So they can see their entire phase, they know what's coming, and they're able to measure and assess week to week, kind of intuitively, how they're doing in that program. The other thing it gives you is efficiency in your own process of writing programs. So every one of my one-on-one business clients that I had who transitioned from weekly or ongoing program design to monthly phases had two consistent results. And one is that they were way more efficient in their own work, and they very much so enjoyed that. And two is that the clients absolutely loved it. And that is because, again, it gave the client that predictability and that measurability. So it was a win-win if it works for your overall model of program design. Consider month-to-month programming if you've never done that before. The next mistake is changing too many aspects of programming at one time. This is probably the most common, and I think that a part of this does come from the insecurity, the falsehood that you need to provide a brand new program for a client on a monthly basis, which is just not the case. You need to provide results for your clients. And I encourage you to ask, what is the least amount of aspects and factors of your program that you can change and still get the client the desired stimulus? That's the question I want you asking when you sit down to write your program, because honestly, your client is going to be more impressed with that. They're going to be like, oh, wow, this doesn't look that different on paper, but it feels different. And I'm getting stronger, or I'm getting more proficient with a movement pattern or whatever. It's working, and we're barely changing anything. That's what they're paying you for. So don't make the mistake of thinking that they're paying you because they need something brand new every month. That is likely not the case. I absolutely understand that you cannot just do the same 5 exercises for 16 weeks. You might be fine doing that from a muscle standpoint, but people do get bored. Some level of exercise variation will be welcomed, but it's, I think, the extent of that exercise variation that I see being unnecessary a lot of the times. So for example, can you simply take a Bulgarian split squat and change the way that it's loaded, perhaps, or elevate the front foot as well as the back foot being elevated? If you missed my YouTube video on 3 ways to progress your accessory exercises, I highly encourage you to look that up, whether you are a coach or a trainee. it may be very helpful for you if this is a particular area of programming that you find yourself changing a lot or feeling the need to change a lot. Definitely check that out. Again, ask, what's the smallest thing I can change here that gives us just enough of a new stimulus, but isn't a whole other exercise with all new sets and reps and all new tempo and all new rest periods, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The fourth mistake is not including all of the following aspects within your program design. And that is a blood flow warm-up. So just some kind of cardio or movement to get the blood moving through the body, to get our heart rate up, to get our respiratory rate up. Movement prep. So something specific to whatever the workout is for the day before you actually start the workout. Rest periods being programmed, specific rest periods, using specific tempo with every exercise, and some kind of guide for intensity, whether that is percentages, RPE, the rule of two, I don't care, you have a lot of options. In general, if your programming does not include all of these, I encourage you to look at how you can include all of these and how it might affect your clients' results or their experience in the gym, maybe their clarity. Simply, you're leaving potential on the table if you're not defining all of these within your program design, whether you are programming for someone at home, whether you are programming 2 days a week or 6 days a week, doesn't matter the training split, you need to include all of these things. Lastly is number five, and that is, this is probably maybe one of the more overwhelming pieces for people, unless you have taken a course like peer programming that lays out how to calculate this, which it can be very simple, is not managing volume phase to phase. So when we have big jumps or big dips in volume, we are either not capitalizing on the gains that we made in previous phases. So we want there to be a seamless transition from phase to phase. And we want to make sure that we are able to use whatever adaptations we got from a previous phase of training in the next phase of training, right? We want to build upon that. We don't just want to jump into something new. And managing volume is one way that we can do that. So the other thing here is that we are potentially decreasing the risk of injury due to a load versus capacity discrepancy, which is what we can see when we do have these big either increases in total volume or decreases in total volume, but increase in load, that would be somewhat assumed. So if you never look at your volume, if you never calculate your volume, maybe look at doing that or just maybe intuitively pay more attention to that and see where you're at. Just observe it at first and see if it's something that, you know, if it's a gap within your program design that you could do a better job of managing. Something you learn how to do inside peer programming is, like I said, calculate your total weekly volume and daily volume. And that just allows you to be sure that you're not making those big jumps or big dives from phase to phase. And it's a very easy fix. If you do find that you have a big jump or a big dip, it's very simple to fix that. So anywho, I hope that today's episode was helpful for you, just in auditing your own program design process and seeing if you maybe struggle with any of these. Maybe you didn't realize you do, but you do. Hopefully we are able to fill some gaps in your programming with today's episode. If you enjoyed it, give it 5 stars, leave a written review, do all the things. Go to anniemiller.co/news if you would like to receive emails from me. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for tuning into the FitsPro podcast.